Morning Watch, living a Christian life and church life, under the government of God for the economy of God, week 2. Living a Christian life under the government of God. Saturday, related verses. 1 Peter 4:19. So then let those also who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing to a faithful Creator. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore up our sins in his body on the tree, in order that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose bruise you were healed. Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in offenses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together with him, and seated us together with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that he might display in the ages to come the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works that no one should boast. For we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand in order that we would walk in them. Related reading. The will of God here in 1 Peter 4:19 is that he wants us to suffer for Christ's sake and has appointed us to this. Literally, commit here means to give in charge as a deposit. When the believers suffer persecution in their body, especially as in martyrdom, they should commit their souls as a deposit to God, the faithful Creator, as the Lord committed his spirit to the Father. Persecution can damage only the bodies of the suffering believers, not their souls. They should cooperate with the Lord by their commitment in faith. Persecution is a suffering in the old creation. God, as our Creator, can preserve our soul, which he created for us. He has even numbered our hairs. He is loving and faithful. His loving and faithful care accomplishes his justice in his governmental administration. While he is judging us, his household, in his government, his love cares for us faithfully. In suffering his just disciplinary judgment in our bodies, we should commit our souls to his faithful care. Having died to sins literally means being away from sins. When Christ bore up our sins on the cross and died, that death terminated us, and this termination can keep us away from sin. The best way for people to be kept from sins or from sin is for them to be put to death. Peter speaks of being away from sins. Paul speaks of the one who has died being free from sin. Through Christ's death, we can be kept away from sins so that we may live to righteousness. The subjective aspect of the cross continues in our experience today by the Spirit. The life-giving Spirit is working within us continually to carry out the subjective aspect of Christ's cross in our being. Daily, we are undergoing the inward working of the cross of Christ, and daily, we are being made alive so that we may live to righteousness. Therefore, it is not difficult to overcome sins, because through Christ's death, we are being kept away from sins. His death has drawn a separating line between us and sins. Being kept away from sins, now we are alive. We simply live, and this living always has an inclination toward righteousness. This is the experience of our Savior saving us daily. When we call on the name of the Lord and have fellowship with Him, the life-giving Spirit operates within us. Spontaneously, we experience the subjective working of the cross to make a separation between us and sins so that we automatically live to righteousness. Now we need to ask why Peter uses the expression, live to righteousness. This is related to the fulfilling of God's governmental requirements. Actually, God's government requires just one thing, righteousness. In 1 Peter 2:23, we see that the Lord Jesus continually committed all to the one who judges righteously. Then in verse 24, Peter indicates that we should live to righteousness. Peter's concept here is governmental. Righteousness is a matter of God's government. We have been saved by our Savior to live a life that matches the righteous requirements of God's government. God is righteous, and His government is established upon righteousness. Psalm 89:14 says that righteousness is the foundation of God's throne. Therefore, as God's people living under His government, we must have a righteous life. But because in ourselves we are not able to live this kind of life, the Savior saves us to live a life of righteousness, a life that fulfills the righteous requirements of God's government.